Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, it blessed me. It blessed me greatly to hear the songs and the words and all that you guys have done this, shared with us this morning. It's exciting. Really exciting. Well, does it still amaze you in the way God sent His Son to this earth? Is it not truly incredible? And it's not the way we thought it would have happened, is it? A baby in a feed trough, a manger, on a bed of hay. And because Jesus came in such an inconspicuous and humble manner, most of the world was unsuspecting of the Messiah's arrival. I suspect there are still that have been left unsuspecting of His arrival even yet today. And although it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, all those who had gathered there to register for the census were completely unaware that He was right there with them in the same town where they'd gathered. And the only reason the shepherds knew that the Messiah had come was because the angels brought the good news to them. The only reason the Magi knew about the coming of the Messiah and the birth of the King of the Jews was because they saw His star rise in the east. And the only reason King Herod knew was because the Magi came to him to ask him where the King of the Jews would be born. And of course, he didn't know, so he had to consult the Jewish leaders. And they told him the baby would be born, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And so although God did make the time and the place of the Messiah's coming known to at least a few people, isn't it amazing that it wasn't to who we would have thought it would have been? It wasn't to the famous people, was it? It wasn't to the powerful people. Although Herod was powerful, but even then he didn't know the specifics. So God didn't make it known to those people. He made it known to shepherds and magi who came from a foreign land. That's a pretty incredible thought. I mean, why didn't He put it on the 10 o'clock news? Right? Of course, they probably didn't have 10 o'clock news in that way, but we get the idea. It wasn't like it was just put out there instantly for everyone to know, although when the shepherds found out about it, they certainly couldn't contain it, right? I mean, that's the reality. When you get a hold of what this Christmas message is really all about, you just can't keep it to yourself. You've got to share it with somebody, right? I mean, if any of you got, come on, somebody, have you gotten something for Christmas that, man, you had wanted, you liked, you desired? You can't wait to show it, right? And tell somebody. Well, that's really the heart that the shepherds had that morning to share that good news with the rest of the area around them about this Messiah who'd been born. And yet here's what I believe is even more amazing. After well over 2,000 years following the birth of Christ, the Son of God, Emmanuel, which means God with us, many people in the world are either unaware of His coming, even yet, or they're indifferent about His coming, or still others disbelieve that He actually came altogether, or that He died on their behalf to pay the penalty for their sin, or that He rose from the dead so that death could be defeated and we could receive eternal life. That's what's even more amazing. It's one thing to not know it on the morning of. It's another thing to not know it 2,000 years later. Especially the way that it's celebrated and has been celebrated for centuries, even within our own nation. We may know about God, we may know about Jesus, but do we know Him? There's a difference, right? It's something to know about someone, but it's another thing to know someone. And yet, did Jesus come just so we could know about Him, or so we could know Him? But now here's what really concerns me. And this really has to do with this beautiful group of people that shared with us this morning. It's how all of these things that are occurring in terms of people either being unaware or indifferent or not believing, all of those things are actually occurring today in the generation of our young people, their peers. Many of them are still unaware. Not necessarily maybe about Jesus, but they're unaware of knowing Jesus. Or they're indifferent about him. And many of them out and out disbelieve who he is, the significance of why he came. Because of the negative influences that exist within our culture today, this generation of young people, I want you to hear this, is the most unaware and indifferent and disbelieving generation that our nation has ever known. Now, as I say that, I don't want to say that as if I'm down on this generation. Because honestly, I don't believe it really is all their fault. The reality is there are influences that have created that problem. And here's what kind of a problem it is. Statistics tell us that only about 4%, yes, 4% of this generation is coming to know Christ as Savior and Lord. Do you know what that's going to look like in 20 and 30 years if that statistic doesn't change for this nation? We're already seeing the ramifications of it currently, are we not? How many think this nation is better than it was 50 years ago? Nobody's going to raise their hand? And even though songs are sung about Christ and his birth and signs are hung and posted in people's yards that say Jesus is the reason for the season, and nativity scenes are displayed in various places throughout the Christmas season, many young people just look at these things as being about a nice story that our culture celebrates at Christmas, rather than being about a necessary Savior who came into the world in the form of a baby to grow up and to die and to rise again so that the world could be set free from sin and death. Much of this generation is unaware of the significance of why Christ came into this world. And because they really don't see his coming as being all that significant, many of them are indifferent about their need to put their faith in him. And because of the bombardment of false messages that either contradict, undermine, mock, or even discredit the truth of God's word, most of this generation disbelieves and denies that Jesus Christ is the one and only means that God himself gave to the world that the world might be saved. That's not a good thing. Honestly, most of this generation has come to believe the message that says whatever you believe will get you into heaven because God is such a big and broad-minded and loving God. That message appeals to the ears of many people, does it not? But I'm going to tell you that's the message that has been pushed and pushed and pushed onto this generation. And what grieves me is what the eternal ramifications that come as a result to this generation, who are innocent of hearing the truth because they don't often hear it. The only problem with that message that's given and offered to them today is that it is not consistent with what God has told us in his word, which, by the way, is the final authority on eternal matters. And so because of the negative influences that have targeted this current generation, most of them are like the people who were in Bethlehem that first Christmas morning. Christ has come, but they're really not aware of it. And while their attention has been drawn to all the activities and things that exist in the world around them, Jesus has been pushed back into the shadows where few see him. And finally, since they are hearing so much of the world's rhetoric through the media, through the educational systems, through the political systems, the eternal message that really matters is often missed or ignored or viewed as irrelevant. Now, my goal here this morning is not to be a downer. But let's be honest, sometimes we've got to face the truth, do we not? And it's because we haven't often been willing to face the truth that we're in the state of affairs that we're in today. We want to proverbially bury our head in the sand. But I want to say that there is good news. Jesus Christ has come. Amen? And with all that we see happening in the world today and in our culture, here's what I'm very thankful for this morning and what has truly blessed my heart. It's witnessing these young people right here share with us the very message that so many others in their generation are missing, ignoring, or viewing as irrelevant. This is something to be thankful for, folks. Because it was coming from their heart this morning. It blessed my heart. I want you to know that. And I don't say that just to say it. You don't know what it means to my heart to see you all loving Jesus. I'm thankful that they're aware that Jesus has come into this earth in the form of a baby. And I'm thankful that they're not indifferent about the importance of Jesus being in their heart. And I'm thankful they do understand that they need to share the message of Jesus with others. But how many of you want to see more than 4% of their generation doing those same things? How many of you want to see Jesus become real and relevant to their generation? How many of you want to see this generation set free from the bondages of this world and be with Christ for all eternity? Isn't that why Jesus came to this world? So that everyone, including this generation, who invites Christ into their heart, will be set free from the bondages of sin and death and be with Christ forever? As the one line states in that song that I sang this morning, isn't it amazing? He became a pauper so that I could be a king. Denied himself and made my heart, his home. Don't we all need Christ in our heart? Isn't that why he came in the form of a baby? It's not just so we can have a nice holiday once in the middle of the winter. It's much more significant than that, is it not? But as I look at this precious group of people this morning who are facing a world of unprecedented challenges and obstacles to their faith in Christ, here's something I would like to ask us to do. First of all, I'd like to ask us to pray that God will enable them to stand firm in Christ, because every day they face challenges to their faith. Every single day. We all do. But this generation especially, in the things that they're facing. Secondly, pray for their generation of peers, that God will tear down and overcome the influences the enemy is using to steal, kill, and destroy this generation. Pray that their eyes will be open to the truth that will set them free. Their hearts need to be prepared, does it not? And so we need to pray for them. Next, I want to challenge each one of us here to be an example to these young people and to their peers of what it truly means to follow and live for Christ. And finally, reach out to these young folks with love and encouragement. I know many of them feel like if they go into a church, they're going to be looked at, judged, they're going to be looked down upon. There's all kinds of feelings that they walk into a church with. And we need to first and foremost let them know that we love them, that they are precious to God, and that they're precious to us. And we have the opportunity to do that. We can do that, amen? We can show that love. We can demonstrate and wrap our arms around Him. And so reach out to them and encourage them. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Talk with them about what's going on in their life and the challenges they're going through. We were there once, right? I know as adults sometimes we think, yeah, teenage issues. But I'm going to tell you, the teenage issues that they face are on a whole new level. Yeah, they face some of the same issues that all of us faced as we were coming through the growing up years. But technology and media and the influences that are out there, nothing. None of us faced what they face in this world today. So we need to come alongside them because we've come through a lot of that. Some of us, our feet are much more solid on what we believe. We need to help them with that. That's not going to happen by accident. That's going to happen as you and I are investing and listening and loving and learning even from them. And then finally, support them and build them up in the efforts that they're making to share Christ's light with their peers and their families. That's a challenge for them. That takes mega courage, does it not? For you guys to share Jesus with your peers. And I'm telling you, I've had some of these ladies come back to me and say, well, I tried to do this, but this is the kind of responses I get. I'm telling you, the responses they get was nothing like I would have got when I was in high school. Now, I realize it's been a few years now. But nonetheless, I mean, but I will tell you the responses they get is because the educational system and the responses and the philosophical ideas that are out there nowadays are just literally, I mean, it's no longer just let them develop and learn on their own. No, the world is now starting to try to pipe negative, contradictory messages to the gospel toward them now. So it's not just a matter of neutral, it's a matter of their being attacked, spiritually speaking. So we need to support them. And so if this is our desire to see this generation know and follow Christ, that means that you and I will need to show them what that looks like. They need to see it in us first. We're the role models. We're the examples. If they don't see it in us, where are they going to turn? Where are they going to see it? Are they going to see it in the school systems? Probably not. Are they going to see it on television? Are they going to see it from our political leaders? Where are they going to see it? Us, right? The church. We've got to be the example. We can't just mouth the words. We've got to walk the walk. We've got to demonstrate it. We can't expect from them what we ourselves are not willing to do. Amen? If we want to see this generation become aware of Christ's coming and know that he is more than just a person in a storybook, and understand why he was sent to the earth, and then make the decision to receive him into their heart, then it really begins with you and me. They need to see in us that Jesus Christ truly is the central gift that has been given to this world. They need to hear that Jesus really is the central reason why we celebrate Christmas. And they need to understand that if Jesus had never been born, we wouldn't be celebrating this holiday called Christmas. We wouldn't be sitting in this context this morning. It would simply be another ordinary day on the calendar during the winter. Now, I know you can go on the internet and you can read all the things that Christmas was really developed because of pagan holidays, and that's why Christmas exists. And it's all about the solar solstice, where, today is the shortest day of the year. The days start getting longer again. Okay? But they're saying that it was because of sun gods or whatever that were worshipped, that Christians basically based their belief system off of something that was going on back then. And so because that's all happened, that's really the basis of Christmas. And we shouldn't even be celebrating Christmas because it was based on a paganistic religion in the first place. Anybody heard all this stuff? Well, I want to tell you the other side of the story. Those things are true in the sense of that those things were developed and believed and so on and so forth. But this is what Christians wanted to do. Christians wanted to be more than just a light related to the sun, natural sun. They wanted to shine the light of the sun, S-O-N, of God. And so what they did is they were trying to evangelize. They were trying to share the message of the gospel in a way that a culture, a paganistic culture, could understand the message of the gospel. And so they began to develop ways that the people could culturally understand, but yet the message would be very different. Amen? And so when they shifted the message to Jesus Christ as being the gift to the world and the Son of God given for mankind to be redeemed, I'm going to tell you, I really don't believe that if that message had not been shared and that message been broadcasted and developed and grown over the generations, I don't think a solaristic, paganistic idea of this time of the year would have stuck. Do you? And this culture would not know this holiday the way we know. The reason we know this holiday day is because of Jesus Christ was born a babe in a manger given for the world that they might be set free. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And that's what they shared with us this morning. So because of Christ being born in Bethlehem, we have an eternal reason to celebrate, do we not? And that's the message that I believe is captured in the Christmas carol we began the service with this morning, Joy to the World. I want you to listen to the first verse again, but this time, I want you to listen to it like you have never heard it before. I mean, we can just sing songs we've sung for years, and we were talking about that with the teens earlier. We can mouth the words and never really engage this, can't we? But listen to the words of the Christmas carol, the first verse, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth, I think that includes you and me, right? Let earth receive her king. Let every heart, there it is, prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. How many think there ought to be a little bit of rejoicing about this message? Joy to the world. Rejoice. Heaven heaven and nature saying. How many know the Bible says that when one person comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, that the heaven, the angels literally start rejoicing and throwing a party in heaven? Amen? That they're rejoicing because someone received the gift. How many of you, when you give your gift, give a gift to your child at Christmas time, are overjoyed when they get excited about it? But how many of you are disappointed when they look at it and go, "Oh, what's the next gift?" Come on, right? Now, how much do you think your heavenly Father and the angels in heaven rejoice when the very gift that He sent to this earth to give to us, someone receives it and appreciates it with joy? I'm going to tell you, heaven and nature start singing. Amen? So listen, Jesus came to this earth so that every person could be free from the bondage and the burden of sin and death, and so that they could live with Him for eternity. He was sent to this world as a precious gift for everyone. But I want you to see that in God's Word, because here's the Christmas. This is what I'm going to call the full Christmas message. It gives you not only the beginning, but it gives you the punchline too. How many know you like to know the punchline? Okay? Let's read some verses we all are familiar with. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world. How many of you love your children? Come on. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, listen to this, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. How many have ever thought that God's just a mean, angry God who's just waiting to smack me one? Anybody ever thought of God that way? How many of you ever made the statement, "Oh, I don't know if I should go to church because if I show up, the roof will probably cave in." Come on. I've had people tell me that. All right? That's because we don't see God from His perspective. We see God from sometimes a human perspective, because we realize we don't quite measure up, do we? But even if we don't measure up, look at what God did. He loved the world so much that even in that state of affairs, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, listen, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Aren't you glad that God did not send Jesus to condemn us, but so that we, listen to this word, might be saved? Does that sound like there might be a condition? There's a condition, right? Look at the next verse. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, God did not send His Son here because He wanted to see us condemned. But that condition of belief still exists. But God sent His Son anyway because He wants to save us from spiritual death, which really is separation from God. Do you understand that? Death means separation. You die physically, that body is going to lay cold. But the very life source that God put in you, your spirit, and then your soul, which is what makes you you uniquely, your mind, emotion, and will, departs from that body. That's what death is. The spirit and soul are separated from the physical body. Spiritual death, then, is that same spirit and soul separated from God. And God doesn't want us separated from Him. God wants us connected to Him, one with Him. And the only way that that can happen is that which brought death is removed so that life can be come in again and we can be reconnected, if you will, to God. But the real decision of that connection is what we're faced with, right? We have a decision to make. A gift has been offered. If you don't receive it at Christmas, is it yours? You got to receive the gift that's been offered in order to enjoy it, correct? So the decision that we're faced with is, will we receive the gift God has offered to us in His Son? See, if we receive the gift, that removes our separation from God. That's a good thing, not being separated from God. John 1:9 through 13 shows us this. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, isn't that interesting? The very one that came in the form of a baby was also the one that made the world. That's pretty incredible. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. That sound like Bethlehem to you? He came to that which was His own. Now this was the Jewish people. Listen to this. But His own did not receive Him. But here's the good news. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So we're not talking about being born as a baby, right? We're talking about a spiritual birth. And so when we receive God's gift of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we're born again, which means we are now rejoined to God through Christ and made alive spiritually. John 3:3-7, Jesus answered a man and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old?" See, Nicodemus was still thinking physically, wasn't he? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water," how many know water is natural? "And the Spirit," now how many know that's not natural? That's spiritual. So unless he is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Doesn't that agree with that verse we looked at earlier? He who believes is not condemned, but he who doesn't believe is condemned already. So that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. So in order to receive God's gift and be born again requires faith. And so how does that all happen? How do you receive the gift of God's Son? Well, number one, we do it by opening the door of our heart and inviting Him in. Just as Joseph and Mary knocked on the door of the inn in Bethlehem that first Christmas, Christ knocks on the door of our heart today. Amen? Revelation 3:20-22, Jesus said this Himself, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock." That's not a physical door, folks. That's a spiritual door. That's the door of our heart. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me." Notice it says with me. Anybody want to be with Him, not separated from Him? Because if you're with Him, that's in heaven. If you're separated from Him, I don't think we want to deal with the alternative, right? And I know we don't often like this word, but the Bible does describe a very real place of separation from God called hell. It is real. It's not a fairy tale. It is spiritual, and so it requires faith to believe it. I understand that. But this is what we're talking about this morning, is spiritual matters. But listen to this. I will come in and eat with that person, that means have relationship with, right? And they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on His throne. Now, is that a promise or what? So Jesus says this, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So yes, this was a letter to the church, but I believe it was also a message that the church should carry out to the world that says, if you hear the knocking on your heart of Jesus Christ at your door, will you open the door? Will you let Him in? Will you receive that gift that God has offered to you in this world so that you can be with God for all eternity rather than separated from Him? That's the gift that He offers. That's what Christmas is all about. That's why we're here this morning. That's what these young people shared with us this morning. And that's the message that God wants us to take out to the world. Amen? So I have just one question this morning. Will you open the door to your heart? Now, some of you have opened the door to your heart. But if you have never done that this morning, this is the opportunity. Can you hear Jesus? Can you hear His knock at the door of your heart this morning? How do you invite Him in? It's really not that difficult. It will cost you everything, but it's not difficult. Amen? But then what you gain is far more than what it'll ever cost you. And so this is what the Romans 10, 9 through 10 says. This is how you receive Jesus Christ into your heart. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Lord means master or supreme in authority. So you are admitting that you are saying, I am going to surrender my life to Him. I give my life to Him. Did He not already give His life for us? And so the way that we invite Him in is we declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart, listen, that not only did He come in the form of a baby, but that He died and He rose from the dead. So that if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For listen, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Justified just means made right in God's sight, even while you were still in a state that was separated from Him. Means you are made right with God. For it is with your heart that you are justified, or if you will, made right with God, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. See, the minute that you believe that in your heart and you speak it with your mouth, that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, He is my Lord, and I put my faith in Him, what happens is literally you receive the gift. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes inside of you because our bodies, the Bible says, are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that which was separated from God is now joined with Him through the Holy Spirit, and we receive the gift of eternal life. Amen? So this morning, that's my invitation to you. Let's just, everyone, just if you would take a minute, bow your heads, close your eyes. We talk about and think about and go out and purchase gifts throughout this season. But this is the gift of gifts. The one gift, Jesus Christ, who has been given for you. If you have never received Him, I cannot think of a better time than today. During this season, you will celebrate Christmas like you've never celebrated Christmas before, because you'll really know the gift that was offered for you that first Christmas. This morning, if you would like to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart to make him the Lord of your life, to receive the gift that he came to give you, then I just ask you to do one simple thing this morning. Just lift your hand. Is there anyone here this morning, you've never received Christ, and you would like to receive the gift of eternal life through him this morning? Just lift your hand up. Okay. Then I want you to understand, you can look at me. There was no hands raised this morning. So that says to me one of two things, and I want you to hear this. That says to me that you have already made that decision in your life at some point, and you have chosen to live for him. Or that says to me that you have consciously made a choice that, no, I have not made that decision, and I choose not to. I want you to understand something. Because you have heard this message this morning, you will stand and give an account for your decision. You can never say to God, every one of us, listen, whether we know Christ or we don't know Christ, every one of us will stand before him and give an account for the choice that we made with what we did with him in eternity. And you will never be able to stand before him and say, I never heard what was required of me. And so you will be held accountable. Now, I don't mean that to manipulate you, but you need to understand that. Because I'm going to tell you, how many of us have been to a funeral? How many of us would say 90% of the people or more that we know have passed on a funeral, most people or a lot of people in that place think they made it to heaven, right? I haven't been to too many funerals where I heard somebody went to hell. Let's be honest. And I don't mean this, that's not the place to start being insensitive, right? But what's interesting is this is what the Bible says. It says that broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many are those who walk on it. But narrow is the gate or the door that leads to life, and only a few find it. I just want you to be assured this morning that you're on the narrow road. You'll go through the narrow gate, Jesus. And when you go through that gate, you will not have to fear. And so I'll tell you, if that's you today, I don't know. I don't know where every person in here is with the Lord. But I want you to know this. If you didn't pray or respond to that question today, it's still not too late. And this Christmas season, I want to encourage you. Pray that prayer. Jesus, if you've never prayed it before, I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. You came, you gave your life, and you rose again. And I confess with my mouth today that I make you my Lord. You are my Lord. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins, that I might live for you and be with you for all eternity. It's that simple, folks. It's that simple. You can pray that prayer anytime, anywhere, any place. But I want to say this final phrase. Don't leave earth without him. Don't leave earth without Jesus. Don't wait. Dawn and I know a 39-year-old lady this week that was killed in an automobile accident. Left two boys, twins, 14 years old. She's 39 years old. I can promise you she didn't wake up that morning expecting what came. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Don't wait. Amen? How many know Jesus is here this morning? And we have a joyful reason to celebrate that he's here. He has come, and through the Holy Spirit, he is still present with us. Amen? We're going to sing that as we close this morning. And then I have one final thing I want to share. Let's have the worship team come up.